Hey, PFF listeners, you can find us every Wednesday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Experience your drives in 10K with the all-new QI10 Max driver from our friends at TaylorMade. QI10 Max is the most forgiving driver TaylorMade has ever made, with 10K MOI for maximum stability and forgiveness at impact. More forgiveness means more long and straight drives, even on off-center strikes. The days of missing the fairway are numbered. Shop the QI10 Max, QI10, and QI10 LS drivers, plus schedule a custom fitting at TaylorMadeGolf.com.
Beard Guys delivers high-quality badass beard care that will help you finally unleash your beast. With products that cleanse, moisturize, and style your facial hair, your beard will finally be getting the love and attention it desperately needs. Take care of your beard with Beard Guy's best-selling products like the Beard Wash and Tame, Beard Balm, and Beard Oil. Whether you're growing your beard out for the first time or a seasoned pro, craft your beard to perfection with Beard Guy's. Available at Walmart and Walgreens.
Another episode of BFF. Credit last week on the show. I was like, Kareem, we have to get guests. And in a very, like, Dave Portnoy fashion, like, fuck it, Kareem. If you're not going to do it 2 weeks in a row, I'll go get a fucking guest myself. So, Banks, welcome to the show. Now, you did bail on us once because it was too early.
Yeah, honestly, you guys hit me with, like, some 8 a.m. bullshit. I don't know.
That's... Yeah, it was 8:30, actually. 8:30.
That's Josh's fault, right? Because you picked the time,
whoa.
Josh.
Whoa.
Yeah, we did 11 over here.
I don't know if it's my fault that I live in a fucking time zone. That's just
no, but
3 hours
you're so busy. You've given, like, we can do it whenever. You guys are the early ones. And I, Banks is not the first guest who's been like, yes, wait a minute. You want me up at like 5 a.m. I'm out. So we can do
it.
We've actually
been hustling. I'm grinding, bro. I got work to do.
To be honest, I must really fuck with you guys because I didn't do this through like any sort of management, no people. Mm. This was kind of like coordinated between us three. So the fact that we hit it on the second try is
pretty good.
Solid.
So
I think
wow.
That's pretty good.
Fucks with us. Get that. Tweet that right now. Face Banks fucks with BFS Pod.
Well, and to be honest, I don't know how we normally book guests. I generally feel like on this show it's people we know, or like I never go. Like if we tried to book Banks, I guess through like a third party, my guess is it would not probably happen. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know how big.
It's always like I know your guy knows this guy who knows that guy, and someone just met, you know, mentions it.
Yeah, and how we met, I don't know if, and I don't even know if you call it the meeting, but the first time I saw you, Banks. Let's see if we got the same memory in mind.
I want to say it was Saddle Ranch, right?
Saddle Ranch. Yeah, you came up and said we were out there and said hello, and I wasn't totally in the loop. I'm like the most backwards. Like, I've come way up to speed now on it, but gamer, phase, all that shit. And at the time, I wasn't totally plugged in. Everyone's like, oh, huge deal. But the main connection is Boston, obviously. You're a Boston
guy. Well,
all
the kids I went to high school with fuck with you super heavy and have since your big blow up, you know, since most of your audience now probably knows who you are. You're from Lynn. I'm from Lowell. I had to come up, say what's up.
You're
Mickey
a Lowell
Ward
guy.
Was there. Yeah, I'm a Lowell guy. Yeah.
All right. So, I mean, I don't want to bore people, but no big deal. We won Legion State Championship at the Lowell Spinners Field. No big deal. Yeah, no big deal. No big deal. So, anyways, I'm glad we got you on. And we're going to go through just, I figure how we do this. We'll go through all our headlines we normally do. You have your own pod with, which, Keemstar, we've also had on where you guys do all kind of similar gossip stuff. So, we'll go through all things in the news, talk about you more. I have so many. You and FaZe and all the shit that you do with the NFTs is like fascinating to me. I was talking to Mike in a hotel, and I think me and him, Mike Malak, were just trying to figure out how to do NFTs. And he's like, "Yeah, he's the only one who has it figured out." So
yeah, I found a whole new lane this year. It's crazy.
It's lucrative as hell too.
It's wild. It's wild. Yeah. I mean, it's just like anything else, man. It's just like the traditional stock market or traditional crypto. You got your blue chip stuff. You got your safe, really safe long term shit, and then you got like your everyday, just like
kind of
buy flip.
Yeah,
trade,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Day trading type shit.
Yeah.
Even that part, I don't totally get. But we'll get to all that shit after. But let's go through what we got for the headlines. First of all, Kim Kardashian on SNL, and this is a story before you. She's getting good reviews. I don't know if you guys watch it. I actually missed it, and I saw Scott Disick out. He was in New York for Saturday Night Live. I didn't know Kim was hosting it. I like Scott. I've met him a couple times. I haven't spent like a shit ton of time with him. But I was like, hey, what's up? What are you doing in New York? He's like, my sister is hosting Saturday Night Live. And I, in my head, was like, who the fuck's his sister?
Yeah. I was like, because he's not with Courtney anymore. Yeah.
Yeah.
So who's your sister?
Yes. It took me a long time to figure out what he was talking about. Like, Kim is not.
You don't really want to stop. You don't want to stop playing that card, though.
You're not jumping off that.
Yeah, you don't want to hop off that clout.
Yeah, those are your sisters.
You're just like, oh, that's my sister. You're still throwing that around.
He also said, which I found fascinating, if truth, he's like, yeah, they asked me to be part of a skit. I'm sure they did because the whole family. He's like, but the 9 a.m. wake-up call was too early. That is, Saturday Night Live could tell me I have to wait for 2 weeks to get an appearance. To me, an appearance on Saturday Night Live, I know the show is not the same. That's still a big fucking deal.
Hey, you waking up at 8:30 for Saturday Night Live or no?
Dude, guys, I'm true to it, man. I'm true to it. Scumbag, like, won't do something if I don't want to do something. You guys saw the Sports Illustrated thing that FaZe did?
Yes, I saw that.
Is it with Bronny?
Yeah, LeBron talked about it and stuff. It was honestly, it was truly an incredible moment for us. I was supposed to be on the cover of that. The shoot was too early. I think I was on a little bit of a bender. I just didn't go.
That's crazy.
It is. It's hey, fucked
at least
up.
We know
it's
he's not putting things like that over BFF's pod, right? Like, we're all in the same little equilibrium.
So you could have been on the cover of Sports Illustrated and you just overslept?
It wasn't that I overslept. I was kind of just like, I was like, ah, man, I'm not feeling that.
He was awake and he was just like, nah.
He didn't go to sleep yet.
I don't know, man. It's fucked up.
No kidding.
When LeBron talked about it, my dad hit me up about it, because not a lot of stuff gets back to him. You know what I mean? So when that does, he's like, bro, what the fuck? Why didn't they put you on the cover? I was like,
man. How? I don't even know how a guy like you, and we'll get into all that, is like, you know what? Maybe we'll reverse. Maybe we'll just do the bank stuff first and then do headlines after, because it's fascinating. Like, how does a guy like you even become successful if you can't wake up to do a fucking Sports Illustrated cover, which is a huge
question. It's a great question. So I mean, we all obviously, not to get all like cliche about it, but we all have our strengths and weaknesses. Something that I feel like dances between the lines of strength and weakness is that I'm just like, I really am so true to what I want to do constantly. Like, I'm never doing anything that I don't want. I don't care what kind of bag's attached to it or who's telling me it's a good idea if I don't feel it.
So then you just don't care about
it. It fucks me sometimes. Honestly, no. This is really fucked up. SI fam, we fucking love you. Appreciate it so much. One of the biggest things FaZe has ever done. Big love for Sports Illustrated. But honestly, when we were talking about this, our teams are like putting so much like effort and weight into it, and I don't get everything right. I'm not. I don't claim to be fucking 100% of the time. But that was kind of my tone off rip. Was like, bro, who the fuck cares about Sports Illustrated? Like, that shit was cracking in.
Yeah. You know,
But it's a heritage brand. I missed the mark on that.
Right. It's kind of like a Playboy, right? It's buying those? But
I wouldn't miss the Playboy shoot. I'd be on point for the Playboy shoot.
Okay.
But they are kind of similar in a way. It's like, I don't think many 100%. People necessarily care about it. But to me, that would...
That was one of my biggest fuckers. I blew that. I absolutely blew that. That was awful. But I don't know. I don't know how a guy like me becomes successful, honestly.
Let's get into it. So, FaZe...
Yeah, we got to talk about it.
Like, you were playing Call of Duty, right? That's like how it started. Yeah. That's how you made your name.
Yeah.
And what was your username when you were playing that?
Banks.
Just Banks. So where's FaZe? What is the origin of FaZe? And you created it, right? There's two of you?
No. We founded the company, but I didn't create the brand FaZe. So I guess we can get into that. So Tommy Temper is actually also from New England. He's from Haverhill, Mass.
Another fucking classic New England. Lynn, Lowell, Haverhill,
like all of our baseball, football, hockey teams, they all play each other. It's the Merrimack Valley. Were you guys all big into hockey or no? Hockey?
Yeah.
He doesn't look like he played hockey. He looks like a guy who's just fighting at Bruins games, basically.
Yeah, right. He looks like the guy in the stands that's had one too many beers,
I'm probably that guy. I'm probably that guy. But Tommy just, by happenstance, we met on Xbox. We met online. I met the other two founders online, too. He just randomly lived in Haverhill, and also by random chance, him and I kind of like... We're very similar in the way that we like act, what we're interested in.
Okay.
We're very close in age. So, I mean, obviously I live fucking 15 minutes down the street.
How old are you?
I'm turning 30 in like a week.
Okay.
It's super unfortunate.
So how long have you been in social
again,
for?
Don't age shame here.
Yeah, that's true. Dave's an old man. Yeah. So.
Okay, so continue.
But you're a fucking dilf. Yeah, like, I don't know if I'm going to be there when I'm 44. You know what I mean?
I'll take it. All right, fingers so continue.
He wants to get it off the fact that
No, I'm 44. Everyone knows.
No, he wants to move it along. No. He's like, yo, just fucking continue, man. I don't care that I'm 44.
I'm the one who brought it up, but go ahead.
So Tommy hits me up one day. Well, the way I got into FaZe was I had my own brand. It's called Soar Sniping. It's basically the same thing, same model structure as FaZe Clan. And keep in mind, guys, too, this is like 10, 11 years
ago. That's what I was going to say. This is like beginning.
So this is all bullshit. Like, this is for fun. Like, we're not making any money doing this. We're just really fucking good at Call of Duty. We're capturing, like, our gameplay, putting it in montages, and people are fucking with it. We could just caught a wave, and that's what we were doing. My team was fucking sick. The shit we were doing was sick. I kind of leaned into more. I knew we were never going to be the size of FaZe, so I kind of leaned into the more, like, just the cooler. Like, I wanted to be, like, the cool brand.
Mm-hmm. And FaZe is not around right now, correct?
No, FaZe is around.
It is around. Okay.
But it's a YouTube channel and it's a collective of kids playing Call of Duty.
Got it.
Just like posting their highlights and stuff, right?
None of us at this point have any, there's
no monetization you're putting into this like crazy besides the YouTube.
There's zero chance that we're sitting here today and it's the way it is right now.
Right.
And who's behind the FaZe YouTube channel?
Tom, Temper, Havel. Okay.
Got it.
Yeah. So, they hit me up randomly one day and basically asked me to join, say, fuck the Soar shit you're doing. Let's just join forces. Like, the shit you're doing's cool. I feel like and I was always homies with these guys. It was like one community, you know, just like anything else. And it was always love. They hit me up, asked me to join. I'm like, all right, fuck it, joined.
And what does that mean at that point, joining?
They offered me $1,000 a month to join the team and help manage and lead the team. Because I was leading Soar, I kind of created the Soar thing.
Yep.
Isn't that crazy to think of the number? Like, the
$1,000
that was in it last then?
It's wild.
$1,000, that's it.
Yeah, I dropped out of UMass Lowell program.
Okay, and $1,000 to manage lead mean find other guys to play and post your content on that feed, basically?
Yeah, basically. They brought me in because I started to do different shit. Like, again, there were stages of it. So at this point, we're just doing montages and Call of Duty clips. None of us are really putting our faces out there.
I was going to say no face cams.
No lifestyle, none of that shit. Really, hardly even our voices. But I started to kind of lean into, like, other shit because, just like anything else, this is a trend. You can't fucking post Call of Duty highlights forever and expect to build what we built.
And so roughly what year are we talking?
We're talking 2011.
Okay.
Yeah, 2011, 2012. So I joined the team. Tommy lives in Haverhill. We hang out a couple times. I'm like, this kid's fucking cool. He likes the same shit I like. He's not like this awkward, weird kid. We're like same shit, different guy. One day randomly hits me up and asks me to move in with him. Says that his roommate had moved out. I'm like, Tommy, you know what I make? I make $1,000 a month. Yeah. Like, I can't move in. I can't move out of my parents' house right now. I'm fucking, at the time, what, 20, 21? Yeah. I move in with Tommy. I just said, or no, no, he tells me, don't worry about the rent, just move in, fuck it, whatever, we'll figure it out. I move in with him. We start kind of putting our lives out there, like on Snapchat, doing little vlogs, skits, shit like that. And people really fucked with that. And things started to kind of move at a faster rate. And him and I went from talking like an hour a day on Skype to like all day every day while we played like NHL and fucking ate breakfast and worked out and kicked it with homies and girls and shit like that. Just every waking moment, what do you think about this idea? Started getting on the phone a lot more and just paying way closer attention to what we had. In kind of parallel to this, we're putting our faces out there and cracking jokes, and people fuck with us as people, and things are starting to go this way just in every, you know, every category. So I think we started to both kind of realize we had something special and some, you know, a foundation that we could really build on. The natural progression after that was, I mean, you and I moved in together and things went this way. So the natural thing to do is to move more of us in together. So we hit G Fuel. G Fuel's been a sponsor of ours since the fucking very beginning. Shout out G Fuel, shout out Cliff, all those guys. Hit them up and basically fucking begged them for like $4,000 or $5,000 a month for a house They put us up in Long Island because that's where the headquarters is. I had to get on the phone and fucking convince. So it was me and Tommy. Obviously, we were the first two. And then Apex, Rain, Tico, Adapt, Blaziken. And all these guys, you got to keep in mind, all these guys are like 18 years old at the time. Right, one of them is still in high school.
Jeez.
I had to get on the phone. We had to get on the phone and
talk to their parents and convince, and shit. Yeah.
18-year-old kids' moms. By the way, again, this shit is not real at the time. You know, uh-huh. We just had to beg for $4,000.
No. We were doing that with Talon X, and it's like social media was more established, and I know how hard it was at that point.
Yeah, so, that's like, what I was actually calling. Wondering. During this time, had like the houses, like had
no, they like, were like they were like the pioneers first, of that.
Yeah. The FaZe Clan. I will take that all day. FaZe Clan, the FaZe House. That was the first ever content house.
Was that even before like what was it called? O2L.
What's that?
They were some. They were like a, I think they might have been just a YouTube collective like house. They were before like Team 10. They were before.
Well, we were fucking.
You were
decades.
You were like Team 5 years before Team 10. Yeah. Easy. So I feel like FaZe was the first one. Like when I look at
really
it,
were.
I think
when
you
go
were
back,
the first
when you,
one.
I mean, there's some discussion to be had about Optic, but they were like a, their professional team was in a house together.
They weren't doing the lifestyle shit like
that. We were all from different areas and no. Content House is how you know them today. The FaZe House. I mean, everybody in our world knows that.
Got it.
I'll take that one all day.
Right.
But
pat yourself on the shoulder.
G Fuel was
right.
Okay. I hope they don't mind that I say this. I know they won't. I've talked about this before. But G Fuel was kind of on the brink of like, you know, they were in a dangerous spot when they first came out with their product. It was memed on super heavy. Everyone's like, energy. Like the fucking people think the internet's brutal now. You guys remember? Do you remember? Were you playing Call of Duty back then? Were either of you guys playing?
Or like Modern Warfare? That's like the rooms in there, bro.
The shit was brutal.
Kids today, if they were in those lobbies, like if they were in those lobbies, they just start crying.
The internet is so
like,
soft
start crying,
nowadays compared
to
how it was. Like,
yeah, no, it was insane.
This shit was brutal. Like we had to get through all that too. Like motherfuckers, like you guys take this gaming shit way too seriously.
Bro, people would say they were so coming bad for your right mom now. In those chat rooms. Like it wasn't a safe place to be.
We used to get like doxxed and swatted and shit. And like that's another big reason why I never like kind of put my face out there or like my person out there.
You ever see that, Dave? You ever see when people used to get swatted?
Yeah, no, I know about that. We had like a fake incident
it still happens
here way
time
back
time.
In the day with one of our guys. It was a joke. But yes, I know what that is. You give out the address, SWAT team show up at your house. It's like a fake call, right?
Yeah. They pretty much say like these people either like have
fucked
somebody
up.
Hostage or whatever. Yep. It's a super messed up thing. And then they're gaming and they're live on Twitch or whatever. And people are getting swatted.
There's horror stories about like people's dogs getting shot. Yep. I'm pretty sure there's a couple stories about people getting hurt. It's fucked up.
Yeah,
but yeah, one of the darker sides of like the whole gaming thing. But anyways, yeah, G Fuel's on like the brink, basically the brink of bankruptcy. Like their product isn't panning out the way that they want, whatever. We go to them, we're like, listen, we're fucking fire hot right now. Throw us in a house, we'll fucking I'll get G Fuel tattooed on my fucking forehead. Like we'll go the whole way, like whatever. Like you guys own our souls, the G Fuel house, whatever. We did that and I mean, you can look into the numbers. G Fuel's fucking crushing it.
Oh yeah,
they're doing really well. And obviously, you know, we're still surviving and thriving. And
were you guys able to get equity in G Fuel when you were doing it back then?
Nowadays, the way that things work,
you would have probably
came in. We would have got right. I mean, I would like to think. I honestly, to tell you the truth, I think that we do. I think that we're in it with G Fuel for the long haul.
Yeah,
I think we worked out a bunch of things with them. But worse, I mean, dude, G Fuel changed the course of our company's life forever. We changed the course of theirs. Sometimes it's not always about equity and fucking money and stuff.
No, for sure.
Sometimes it's like you met the right person at the right time and they changed the game for you. You can't really put a price tag on that.
Yeah.
And so I probably became aware like maybe 2 years phase. And I feel like there was another huge jump in it, or maybe it was consistent up. Is there, like you just told the story, is it a consistent rise or does something happen again that took you guys to like a Sports Illustrated cover level?
Well, there's all, I think it's just I think that we've just grown with the, with the growth of
social
gaming.
And gaming, yeah.
And social media, yeah. This,
it's
this
not even gaming, too, because I don't know anything about gaming, and I know who you are. So, like, you're just big in social media as well.
And it's huge, and it's the lifestyle. A lot of similarities, weirdly, to early Barstool, in which I was always behind, like, we're writing articles in Barstool, but nobody really knew who it was. And then I started putting my personality on it a little bit, and that's what people gravitated towards more than like the articles that I was thinking. And as we hired more people, they became invested in the lives. A difference with Barstool, I think, in FaZe is, so when you guys sign somebody FaZe, you see somebody with the FaZe and then their name behind it. Is that automatically mean they're like a full-time employee of FaZe, or
no, definitely not employee. We have like 100 employees. We have, you know, we have execs and fucking finance people, legal people, marketing people. We have the whole fucking thing. The way FaZe is structured, it's actually incredible. It's unbelievable to me that we walk in these offices and these fucking.
So it's a football.
It's crazy. A real
company. Yeah.
And it's about to get even realer. I can't get super get into it.
But I was going
to
say, you guys are going to go public or something?
But is the talent like? Is the so? Let me give you an example here. Like, I got approached. Somebody's like, and we're in the gambling space, like, hey, FaZe is getting ready to do a big deal with one of your competitors. You should talk to them first. They're a better fit with Barstool. So I had a call with a guy. I think he said he's like the CEO of FaZe.
And was it Lee?
What?
Was it Lee Trink?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we're talking about it. And it, to me, almost sounded like he was an agent for like you in a way, like he wasn't.
That's kind of how it works. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, like I could have gone directly to you and be like, hey, and we had a, for example, we had a deal with Nick Marks, who is a big, but we didn't talk to anybody at FaZe besides Nick and like his guy. And like I thought with you, but then when I talked to the agent, it almost sounded like he would still have to go work the deal with you individually or whoever he wanted. So it almost sounds like FaZe, you know, like, is the model, hey, we'll give you publicity and we'll help build your brand. How do the talent give back to you? Like, where is, does that make any sense, the question?
Yeah. Well, FaZe is the talent at the end of the day. The long-term goal is like, I did a 2-week stint in Tokyo with a company called LVMH. And they basically, the way fucking Tokyo moves and like just Japanese culture, like there's like fucking 6 brands that own everything. And right. I mean everything, like from the restaurants to the fucking clothing brands to like the biggest, you know, J-pop stars in the world. And just the way they structure it is you join this family and you're set for life. Like if you join in as like a professional dancer, you're young, you're pretty looking, whatever, at this moment, that's cool and all. But down the road when you're fucking 50 years old, like we're going to open up a restaurant for you. You're just good. Like that's the way I'd like FaZe to be. Long term, I just want once you have that in your name, you're fucking good. We're always going to take care of you. You're always going to be a part of it. How do we see a return? I mean, that's what it is, right? Like, this is just like a story that's kind of unfolding. Our brand lives somewhere between like the Patriots and Nike and fucking whatever the fuck. Like, it truly is a brand new thing that's never really been done the way that we're doing it.
Right.
Not only in gaming and social media, but just in general. And we're obviously learning as we go. It's a model that we've kind of half been running the entire time with this like FaZe Banks, FaZe Apex, FaZe Temper thing. And it's, I don't know, it's worked.
How, and I assume the bigger you get, the more like, you know, people come for you in different ways. And there's the most recent. And also, if these guys aren't totally full-time and off doing, like you had that crypto scandal with the guys that got kicked out. So they were promoting, and my interpretation was not intentionally, but promoting like, and there's a lot of fake shit with this out there, promoting basically one of the scam cryptos, right? And if they have their name on it, that basically, and I've kind of felt this, I'm sure you do, it goes to you in a way because you're so closely associated. So how do you manage that?
Especially you, right? Because you're kind of like the head guy.
I always get fucking dragged into it. Like all those fucking people tried so hard to like make a connection between me and everything that happened.
Yeah.
When I truly had absolutely nothing to do with it.
So how do they go and start doing that coin without people like you knowing about it?
Well, so that's the other thing too. Like your relationship with each individual is different. Management's relationship with each one of them is different, and we don't want to be fucking like, we don't want to be like this big brother, like government, like like, we don't want to have that vibe with our guys. Like, we want people to feel like they're free to do it, really whatever the fuck they want, so long as it's not harmful to their brand or our brand. So long as it, you know, if we have obviously a basic fucking like brand book and a set of rules that you have to live by.
Guidelines.
You can't be a piece of shit and be in phase. I'm kind of a piece of shit and I'm in phase, I guess. But
that's all our responsibility. You're giving new people who, if you don't know them that well, and their phase is in their name, like that's
and
a
especially
lot of fucking
someone like Frazier. Not to put him on blast, Frazier's my brother. I hope he's doing well, and I think that I know he is. But a guy like that, like dude, when I was telling you about like the 2011, 2012, Frazier was in SOAR. That original team that I was talking about, like I've known this fucking guy for over 10 years, and he's never had so much as a, you know, any kind of internet drama or beef or anything like that. He's really only exploded on YouTube and stuff over the last couple of years, which is pretty crazy to think about. You know, he's been in the game for 10 years and he's really only found success over the last couple. I think you're just moving too fast, man. But with a guy like that, like you have a lot more trust and they have a lot more like, you know what I mean? It's like, it's a guy who you feel like you just don't have to worry about.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude's been on the team for 10 years. Like, he can do whatever the fuck he wants. He's that guy. You know what I mean? And, no, but like I said, we're constantly learning. That situation was miserable. I think we handled it the absolute best way that we possibly could have.
And then we have this one that's going on now, which a lot of it's on Steve Will Do It. And he was doing basically offshore crypto blackjack poker games, and this dude Coffeezilla is basically saying, and I've read on it a bunch, it's fascinating because of our gambling angle with it, that he was basically scamming. He's trying to make it seem like he's doing something really shady.
What you just said is why I have an issue with this new like development and this whole new story. The website that you're referring to is Rubet. If the listeners at home want to pull it up right now, if you're in the U.S., you can't play. Canadians can, though.
You can play in Canada.
We did like a one-month stint campaign with them.
How were you guys playing in the States?
Months back, we weren't. We were getting jets to Mexico. We did it completely 100% legit. Bro, like, I am as legit as it gets.
So it wasn't like a, because I heard it was a VPN thing. It was like, guys, kids, go download VPN so then you can say you have a different IP address.
See, like, this is where, like, the game of telephone, like, that's the shit that I don't have patience for, and like that's where I get like annoyed. Like the save the kid shit, Coffeezilla was the same guy who broke that story, and I got on the phone with him. I was on the phone with him and Mudahar for fucking a month straight. Like, you know, I go into fucking FaZe Banks mode. You know what I mean? It's like, yo, I'm not about to let fucking FaZe get thrown into the fire with all this. We literally did nothing. We made no money. We had no part in any of these deals. Like, this is definitely not what the fuck our company's
about.
You're
saying like the overarching phase didn't have to deal with like that. The crypto
individuals thing. You know what I mean? Bad actors. But this shit, like what you just said, like, no, that never happened, at least not from us. I don't know. I can't speak for Steve. Steve's not in our ecosystem, but I live with Aiden Ross currently, Mike Malak, and Rice Gum.
Yep.
And we kind of did like a group deal. We went out to Mexico twice in the span of a month, and we got paid fat for it, obviously. Like, Dave, you know, this gambling shit. Like,
especially the crypto guys, because they are
over flooded with cash.
They have to compete because, like, the legal, the guys in the United States are spending a ton of money, and you can't, like, we can't associate with them at all. We're regulated by the governments because it's all legal in the United States. So the crypto guys have to pay a lot to get a guy like Banks to jump on a jet, leave the country, do it. That's the only way to do it.
Yeah, it's fucking annoying. Like, it's not like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, fucking life sucks.
So what exactly is Steve Will Do It? And your name's mentioned, but like, what are they being accused of doing?
Exactly. That's kind of me and Keem just talked about it on Mom's Basement yesterday. It's like, for us, it's like, what's the issue? And between all of us, not between all of us, it's on the show, and that's fine. I talked about it on my show, too. But I called Mudahar because there was one part of that where it was like, okay, it's like that speculating, like, scammy, like, vibe shit where it's like, we have my ETH wallet, all my NFT shit is fully public. I'm fully transparent with all that shit. It's literally phasebanks.eth. is my wallet. Like, anybody can go look at what I'm doing. there was transactions back in February with a wallet that's super connected to like Rubet. And it was like, okay, look, why is all this money coming in from this wallet to banks? Looks a little, and then 2 seconds later, he's buying CryptoPunks. Well, in February, I got a call. This kind of segues into the NFT shit. I get a call from Gary V. Gary V fucking, this motherfucker hits on a lot of shit.
Everything.
Bro, he was DMing me back when CryptoPunks first came out. When was that phone call?
Early February, late January.
I'm surprised you're not still on the call.
Yeah, facts.
Facts. That guy can talk. That guy goes. Eh?
Gary's the fucking goat.
No, like, he is.
He really did change my life this year. He's the fucking man. And he didn't have to do this. He didn't gain anything from this. But he calls me. And he's like, Banks, I know you're into the art shit, this and that, like internet shit. This NFT, this is before anybody knows what the fucking NFT was. This is the first time I'm hearing about this shit. Calls me. Says, yo, these CryptoPunk things, you should look into these things. I think you'd fuck with these things. I'm like, all right, Gary, like, let's cut through the bullshit. Like, what should I do?
Yeah.
He's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
If you don't spend at least a couple hundred thousand on this, you're going to regret it for the rest of your life. And I tend to listen to people who are smarter than me in the areas that.
Know what you know what you don't.
Yeah,
right?
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, all right, fuck it. So I take a peek at it. I look at it. I'm like, all right, I'm gonna get into this. And we all know how Coinbase works and all these other like super fucking just the mainstream like routes of like getting crypto
exchanges.
It's fucking annoying. Yeah, the exchanges.
Yep.
It's fucking annoying. It takes a while. You have to do it in like I don't know. It's fucking annoying. So, you know what I mean? I know a fucking million people. I know a bunch of people who hold a lot of crypto. So I start sending messages out like, yo, would you happen to have X dollars in Ethereum that I could just buy off you?
Right.
So one of these guys came back and was like, yeah, I got you. And I'm valid. So he just sends me the Ethereum and we make like a sale of purchase and I got the receipt. I did it all through my finance people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
and I fucking wired this guy out like $200,000 hard earned money from my fucking bank account.
Fair.
I bought this fucking shit.
Yeah.
But like people don't know that. And then they point at something like.
They point at the transaction.
Going and it's like, this is, like, what could this mean? Right. Like, it's like, dude, it's really not that deep. It's as simple as I bought this shit.
And I thought you were actually
I bought the Ethereum.
Else. I thought you were just going to say you were getting paid for the ad deal that you did.
No. Because this was separate. Obviously, we got paid for the fucking the ad shit. All that stuff's public too. But this was something different. This was kind of like out of like this.
This was like a this transaction between
these,
you and one of
these
the guys.
These transactions didn't line up with like the structure of the deal and gotcha. What the other guys that I was with were getting. So it was like kind of a question mark, kind of whatever. But I talked to Muda and basically what he said was, you know, our beef really isn't with you guys. It's really not even with Steve. It's like we're just. You know, we're digging in deep to like this website.
Pump and dump stuff.
But then it's like, no, not the pump and dump stuff.
Just the website of Rubet, you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But what, and what do they think they did?
I don't know, man.
The gambling side? Is it the car giveaway? Because, unless I'm wrong, Steve deleting all his shit, obviously that raises a red flag for any human. It's like, why are you deleting all this if you didn't do anything wrong? And I've read it. I don't understand. Kareem, who's here, said part of the issue is like that he was getting a percentage of the players' losses or profits who signed up. But
again,
I've been doing this stuff. That's affiliate day one. Like that is before it was legal offshore. That's how they do it. Affiliate.
Well, see,
deals.
That's what I'm saying, and then it goes back. It circles back to like, okay, again, the fucking question of the hour is, what's the issue? If we want to talk about the morality of gambling and promoting gambling to your audience, I'm here for that conversation all fucking day.
Yeah,
Dave, you already know how it is. Grew up in Boston. My dad was a bookie my whole fucking life. I go to Vegas. I frequent Vegas. I'm a fucking absolute degenerate. I live this shit. I love this shit. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I don't know. If we want to talk about that, that's a whole separate conversation. But then it's not a Rubet, Steve will do it conversation. It's fucking
like, what do you think the morals are to your fans? What do you think your responsibility is when you're promoting
and
shit?
Back to what you said, Dave. Back to what you said,
younger people, somebody may want to know, Steve or Banks or me or whatever, hey, I'm getting a cut of people I sign up. I can see that. But I can also tell you, that's not new. That has been going on with affiliate, the offshore. That's how they do it. You sign someone
blatant,
up, you get a
blatant,
cut.
It's blatant and on the website, and it's honestly such a dishonest way of like packaging and delivering that information. Like it's not. It's just simply not the case. For us, at least, the way our code worked, and again, let me remind you guys, we went out there twice. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't think it really makes a difference whether we went out there twice or worked with them for fucking 3 years. I'm just, this was like a quick, like off the cuff deal that we,
it was kind of a one off deal.
Kind of, yeah. So, but the way that it works for us in our code was, whether Dave, if you came on the site, use our code, you deposit $10,000. If you take that $10,000 and go on to win fucking $10 million, or I would make the exact same amount of money as if you lost it all. And it's like, we're not banking on anybody losing. Like, yep. We don't, like, and to be honest, dude, again, just to keep shit real and like human, bro, you think our fucking, you think we're leaning super heavy on the code uses?
Right.
You think we really give a fuck about the code?
You think that's where like the money was
coming
from?
That's what I'm saying. Like, for
real.
You
were getting your bank from the deal already, and then they also threw in the
affiliate. It's like, what the fuck do these people think is really happening? Like, do they really believe that? Do they really believe that there's a group of us, me and Steve will do it, and fucking, you know what I mean? All these people who are like cackling, like, yes, like use the code, like lose your money. Like, no, dude, like what the fuck? Everybody knows, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And again, too, the language, the way we delivered this and the way we promoted this was never use a VPN. We never said any of that shit.
Right.
It was matter of fact, it was always, we're in Mexico because it's illegal to do this in the US. Don't do this if you're in the US. One, two, understand that if you gamble, you're going to fucking lose your money. Three, it's like, you know what I mean? Like, we were super.
If you're saying that stuff, then you're leaving it up to.
And before we even got into it with these guys, that's what it was. That's what we let them know. Like, yo, like this is the way that we have to deliver this shit. And yeah, that's totally fine.
Right.
Right.
Because we saw how Steve did his shit, and he always did it like that too. For what it's worth, Dave, too. And I feel like people speculate so much. You know what I mean? It's like fucking. It drives me fucking crazy because I try to stay out of all this shit as much as possible. But Steve, like, his VODs and stuff, his videos getting deleted, I haven't spoken to Steve about any of this, believe it or not. I've been fucking doing my own shit.
Yep.
But I would speculate that Steve, like, the full set, you want to talk about fucking powerful and like super valuable IPs, the full send IP is fucking
yep.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Happy Dad, the shit that they're doing with Happy Dad, like this company is on fucking fast track to, I would imagine, at least $500 million to $1 billion fucking valuation. Exit. Like,
bro,
it's like these guys are really doing it, and it sounds crazy, but even like this fucking Rubet shit with Steve, it's probably peanuts compared to what the whole team, and there's so many other people invested in all these other things. It's not just Steve. So I would be willing, and you guys know their management, right?
Yep. Yeah.
It's like these guys are fucking real deal guys. And I would imagine these guys are like, yo, this shit, we don't need this shit right now. Wipe this shit. Stop talking about it. We're over it.
Yeah.
That's what I would guess.
You think it's kind of like, hey, we got bigger things to, we have bigger fish to fry than this fucking little Rubet shit. So let's focus on Happy Dad.
Definitely. I know for a fact that that's what it is. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I mean, I don't know, to be honest, even us back in the day, we were going through getting different influences. We tried, again, we are so regulated, but we talked to Nelk a while. And Steve, and by the way, I like Steve. He's like,
he's a great fucking guy. These guys I used to live with these guys.
Yeah, so there's nothing against the, but that was part of it because we had to get them approved by the states and we couldn't get that far because the variety of pranks they do and shit. But that, we're like, you guys can't do that overseas. So that makes sense. It's an interesting, and again, the bigger you get, everyone's trying to take a shot. I could see it. And I mean, we don't do it that way, obviously, because we can't. So it's like, but people say the same thing about me with Barstool Sportsbook. They think that we're like trying to get people to lose, or we're not betting our own money. We try to win and like bet our own money, and when we lose, we're getting fucking smoked. But people can say whatever they want.
I'm pretty sure I've watched Dave lose hundreds of thousands of
and
dollars.
And you can't fake. I'm not Robert De Niro, so it's like you can't. You can act tell when like you lose money. Acting, and we're miserable down here.
Yeah.
So the NFTs, you've been doing it. I don't know how much more, I don't know how deep we want to go into it. We kind of described it a little bit, but is that like your main, is that one of your main things that you're doing right now?
Like this past year, absolutely. I mean, because it was just an individual play for me. Like I said, I took, you know, an original $200,000, $300,000 investment
and it just
started fucking with it back in February.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
I currently own 9 CryptoPunks, like 6 apes, like these things. These are like super blue chip. I think the floor for a CryptoPunk right now is somewhere in the ballpark of like $400,000. And my shit is definitely not floor shit. I got some fucking heat.
How much money do you think you've made in the last year off of NFTs?
I would say conservatively, not like liquid.
I'd expect this to shatter me based on rumors I've heard. I'd expect this to be like
it's probably going to shatter.
I want to hear this.
It's fucked. It's just fucked because it's so silly. Like, at face value, when you really I mean, I'm not going to fuck with something I don't feel is like legitimate long term. You know what I mean? I think NFT tech is the fucking future. I think crypto is the future.
100%.
Not to be one of those fucking crypto kids, because I'm really not one of those crypto kids. This shit really, in a lot of ways, brought me super into the crypto game, because numbers and shit, that's not me. I'm a fucking visual guy. I like the creative, cool, funky, weird shit. But yeah, no, I took that original investment back in February. And I would say my portfolio right now is worth modest number, probably like 7-8 million. And if I really wanted to break it down, and I mean, in the future, if stuff continues the way it is, I don't know. I think by the end of this year, like early next year, it could be up to like 10 M's.
It's crazy.
I'll like tell my homies and family like 10 M's, because it just feels like that.
It's that makes it's a sense. Hard flex.
Right. Yeah, I was gonna say subtle flex, but not really subtle at all. Actually,
no, it's pictures on a screen. I think it's funny, man. Honestly, like, and the even crazier part is like, I'm not in a rush to like. I mean, anybody would take 200K, flip it for fucking 10 M's, and you know what I mean?
Be gone,
fucking gone.
I'm fucking in this Cayman Islands. After
yeah,
that
I'm in this shit for the long haul, and that's the other thing too. It's like, when I watched that video where it was trying to make this connection, like, you got this Ethereum and then went to buy CryptoPunks. Like, yeah, bro, that's what the fuck I got it for. Like,
right.
To go buy CryptoPunks. And I made a good move. Sorry. Like, right. what do you want from me?
Good investment.
Like, but, bro, you want to talk about these, like, these shitcoin, like, pumping, like, bro, I get the craziest, like, I get pitched the craziest shit for this NFT shit. I get pitched on shilling an NFT project every day for like gross amounts of money. Cause you follow me on Instagram?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm always posting that shit. Like, I keep people super updated. I have since the beginning too, which is why I feel like I have a little bit of credibility. Cause I was posting this shit when people were responding, like, what is this? Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? I haven't accepted any of these deals. Like, I want to do this shit legit.
Right, you're not taking the big cash.
Well, you can't when you're as big, too. It's like, that's a hot topic for everybody right now, regulating that, celebrities endorsing, like, NFTs or, like, fucking.
Well, I think a bunch of people are going to end up getting fucked, too, at the end.
But even my own project, I haven't really. If I put out a project, I would hope, you know what I mean? I've met so many people. I'm so deep in the community at this point. And these motherfuckers have disgusting amounts of money. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, talk about being in the right crowd, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know that cliche shit about, like, if you're in a room with 10 billionaires, you're probably the 11th one.
You're gonna get their fucking leftovers type shit.
That's really how it fucking feels. And I haven't even put out my own project. Like, that's what I'm saying. I'm taking it slow, and I'm really learning a lot. And this really has been like my main thing over the last year. It's super interesting. I mean, it coincides perfectly with what we're doing with phase two, because it's all, you know, it's very, very internet culture vibe. And I mean, video games, this is what I'm saying. For you guys, just as homies, and anybody that approaches me and asks, I would advise anybody and everybody, especially if you're super, super hooked into this like internet shit, get a foot in the door. You know what I mean? Put a sizable amount of money in something that you're comfortable with, something that you're comfortable with losing, of course. And just get in, because once you do that, that's what I did with the CryptoPunk shit. I put in fucking $200,000. I'm not walking away from that. Like, I'm fucking in.
You're investing.
I'm going to learn everything I can about this shit. I'm going to meet all the most important people. I'm going to fucking, I'm in. You know what I'm saying? But what comes with that is learning a lot. You know what I'm saying? Video games, NFT tech, like that's going to be one of the first things that's truly affected. Like the concept of like play to earn. Like that's the fucking future, man. Like you fucking imagine if you're like fucking a cold motherfucker at Fortnite and you make money based on just that fact. You don't have to sign a contract with a FaZe or a fucking 100 Thieves or make a YouTube video and monetize it that way. Like you're playing and you're fucking good. So you're earning based on your performance.
Yeah.
That's fucking sick.
Yeah.
And that's really like, that's really where shit's headed.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Couple shifting gears. Have you heard the story of me at 11 with, who was the guy who came up to me?
Phase Adapt.
So I'm sitting at 11.
You and Phase Adapt. Man, that's a fucking.
That's a picture already.
I've told this story. So I'm sitting my backs to him, and he comes up to me, and he just, I've told this story on the show before. He taps me. He's like, "Are you going to phase up, bro?" I'm like, "What?" He's like, "Are you going to phase up, bro?" And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about.
It's a different language.
Yeah. He might as well.
So Dave's over here thinking like, bro, am I about to evolve into another Pokemon?
I don't know what you're talking about, bro. It's like, I was literally like lost. I'm kind of out of place there anyways. But he said it like 3 days. Like,
Didn't he do a hand motion or something?
I don't remember the hands. He was just like,
he hit you with
up,
one of
bro,
those.
Phase
yeah,
up. I think he did that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what his story was like. It's like, I got no fucking clue what you're talking about. And then he introduced himself. He's like, oh, yeah, I don't know what that means, phase up, bro. But, yeah, I'm down. That's the only time I met him. Until that point, it's like, you were kind of my, like, phase guy. And then I Kareem knows everything. I'm like, who was that? Like, what's going on here? But, yeah, that was my meeting with Adapt at 11. And then you may or may not know this. A guy who fucking hates me and I hate him now works at phase.
Oh no!
Oh shit!
Who is this?
Mooj. This guy Mooj.
Oh yeah, yeah. You guys have some history, huh?
He worked here with Call Her Daddy. All right, and he came in with them. He was friends with Alex. They kind of had falling out. I never really had an issue with him. And then when their whole thing broke, he went with Sophia, and he basically called me a racist, which is a joke. But he jumped on during like Black Lives Matter and canceling. I sang 5 Ja Rule songs, basically. When we had him for a Super Bowl party, I sang the lyrics, wanted an Edward. I wouldn't do it again, but it was like 5 songs in a row. I think most people objectively look at what happened, like, yeah, he was just singing the lyrics. I would never do it again, different time, fine. But he started calling me a racist online, total asshole, fine, forget about him. My girlfriend's friend went to the Phase house. And is there a main Phase house?
A lot of people refer to the house I live in right now as a Phase house, but it's really not. They just had a house. We have a few houses spread out, like Swag and those guys.
I think these are the younger guys in LA.
It's where Rain lives, if that helps.
Rain lives in an apartment right now. So maybe when was this, Dave?
A month and a half ago.
Oh, so maybe Rain was there. That's probably where Alex and Tommy. That's probably where. Yeah.
So here's the story. My girlfriend was visiting me with her friends, and took a Barstool sweatshirt back. No big deal, whatever. Pretty common. She happens to wear it over to this house. This guy, Mooj, comes up to her. He's like, you have to take that sweatshirt off right now. She's like, what are you talking about? She's like, I fucking hate Dave. I hate Barstool. It's embarrassing. Take that sweatshirt off right now. So obviously, this girl's like, what the fuck are you talking
Holy
about?
Shit.
Yeah, so... I don't know.
I didn't hear about any of that. That's a little crazy. It sounds like you guys have some real...
He really hates you.
Yeah.
For what it's worth...
I can say this. Some people don't like me here. He's a clown show. Everybody, I think, here would like say it, and I will stand by it. I didn't know he held it that tight. Like, if somebody's wearing a sweatshirt, to be like a random person to take it off. I told Mike this story. I'm like, what the fuck
That's
is going on?
That's kind of embarrassing for him. Well, take that fucking sweatshirt off.
He didn't know
who she
like,
was.
He just thought she was wearing like a Barstool sweatshirt. Yeah, yeah. She didn't realize like
he
2 seconds
she was, like,
later
a spy or some it, shit, eh? Like coming in to scope out.
You'd have
face.
To be a pretty shitty spy to wear,
right, wear a big old Barstool logo right on the front.
Well, and she wasn't God a spy, but he definitely didn't mean it like, oh, too. To prove a point. But like I found out about it in 20 seconds because she texted Silvana. Silvana sent to me. I'm like, oh, I know who this is. So
did
crazy.
She take the hoodie off? That's like the important
I don't
question.
Know what she did. I mean, it's a pretty fucking uncomfortable. And then yeah, I told weird. The story on this show and she wrote back. She's like, I just got banned from that house. I'm like, what do you mean banned from the house? That's when I knew you and Mike lived together. So I think I texted
yeah, it
Mike.
Wasn't our,
like,
it definitely wasn't our house.
Yeah, no. So crazy banned. Fucking story.
Gosh. That's crazy. That sounds like when Soul Cycle was on like the mission against you, Dave. They weren't allowing
this
anyone
guy
to wear
truly.
The Barstool
I will hoodie. Say
it's crazy to me that people can have such different experiences with people. Because to be honest, you're not going to like this at all, Dave. But Moosh is crushing it for us, man.
I
he
don't
really
like
is.
Hearing that.
Yeah, I know.
Dave wants him to be failing.
I know he's crushing it for us. His energy really matches. Like, I mean, we haven't, but we. I guess, I don't know, we haven't had any falling outs or, like, super heavy differences with him, you know?
Yeah,
apart from the casual day-to-day, like, you're fuck, that's whack, or, like, you know what I mean? But
I think he believes what he says, I'll say that. But, like, he quit without telling anybody and then went on the tirade against, like, me and a bunch of different people. He wasn't here over long. I, to be honest, never liked him, but I was surprised the way he left. His issue, and I think I don't think he does the other podcast now either. But yeah, I don't like him. I don't trust him. And that's a crazy thing, by the way, to tell somebody to take off a sweatshirt when you don't even know the person. Just a crazy move.
It's a crazy.
It's a little. It's a little insane.
I'll agree with that. Yeah, that is. That's definitely a crazy, yeah, yeah. Crazy wild.
And I remember saying when Sylvan, it's like weird. It's like I know the guy who like started it, and
he's all
like,
fired up.
We oh, get so along. Funny. I'm like, well, it's a fucking crazy thing. But yeah, no, I don't like hearing that he's crushing it. Like I would have rather say, oh, that dude's a snake. Watch out. But whatever, it is what it is. Like you said, everyone has their own experiences with people. But I'm pretty straightforward. If I have a bad experience or I'm an asshole, I'm like, yeah, I was an asshole there. This guy, no. He, no.
Dude, I can feel the disgust coming up, Dave, through the headset, man.
He was
like,
well,
fired
it,
up
let me
right
put
now.
It this way. If, and Banks can put himself in the shoes. If you built a company, which he did for a decade, I started 2004, and a guy who literally was hired through Caller Daddy because they explode. They're like, we need to hire this guy. It's like, okay. And then you start giving him chances. He's been here for a cup of coffee, quits and trashes you, and is being portrayed as like an employee that's been here for 5 minutes. He was trying to tear down like 2 decades of my everything.
And listen,
like I barely
and listen,
fucking
that,
knew
on,
the guy.
On a more serious note, I can definitely relate heavily with that. I mean, that's happened. That's happened to me
you guys.
Personally
yeah, yeah, yeah.
A handful of times. Like, it sucks. And then you got to go, you know, you got to go off and
pretty much
see them interact.
Or, yeah,
I mean, even deeper than that, once you get past all the bullshit, which is obviously where you guys are at, the stage you're at with him, Dave, but you got to go, you know, you got to go see them interact with people and hear, and you know what I mean? You see people that you're friends with or that you respect.
Right. He's in
it's
that
like,
world now of people I know. Yeah, luckily, like, I've known people now for, I've been doing it long enough where I think my true colors would be out, but you'll still see it quoted where like employee quits. It's like, wait. This fucking
you didn't
guy.
Even hire him as talent. You hired him through Alex.
Correct.
Yeah.
And I barely fucking knew the guy. And we were starting like to do a little more because he wanted to get into the gaming. And we were trying to start it. But the whole thing exploded quick. I don't want to go too deep, but I told the story. And then people, our crowd went back on his social media and found far more offensive stuff. So it's just
what you just said, though, Dave, is really interesting. And it's very, very true. I've been in the game for so long, like you think that my true colors would show at this point.
Right.
And things come back and are revisited and requoted and it's fucking annoying. But I think we exist in a very similar category in the sense that you just keep it so fucking blatantly real and just honestly don't give a fuck half the time that people really respect that. And they interpret that as honesty because that's really what it is.
Yeah, it's authenticity, right?
Yeah, that's like, what I'm saying.
Yeah, you're showing all your true colors.
You can trust someone. I'd rather know, like, you're a fuck up in this, this, and this And if you're willing to admit that, odds are everything else you're saying is probably pretty on point. If you're willing to say I'm wrong about A, B, C, but fuck that D shit, you know what I mean? Like that's bullshit.
100%. And I've said a million times before, I have a lot of people don't like me. If you're doing it as long as we have, you have it. But I never have a problem with people being like, he's short, he's curt, he's an asshole, he's a dick. I'm honest. Like, there's nobody who's going to be like, he didn't tell the truth. It's like he tells the truth to like a fault, basically. So, yeah. I
hey, Dave, a lot of people get pissed off at you because you're short.
Not
yeah, height wise.
People just mad.
Not height wise. Like short. Like an asshole.
Okay.
Like, it's what I said
to your
boy. I
thought you were just throwing that
in. You guys are having
like,
a ball. It's like what I said to your boy, Bruin, 5 seconds after meeting. I'm like, you're the most obnoxious human I've ever met. Like, that's
true.
People
you
don't
did.
Like.
Yeah. I think Gruen has that authenticity.
All
to
you want
him,
is someone
though,
who's honest. That's
yeah,
it.
But I think that's Gruen. I think Gruen's pretty fucking blunt and real about how he's feeling all the time. You never really got to guess with that guy.
No, I'm a fan.
We love those.
Yeah.
I'm looking at other stuff. I think we went through most of the phase stuff. It's an interesting, fascinating. You know, people always ask me, Banks, like when I knew or could imagine. When did it hit you? And this is a vague question. Like, what the fuck am I on here? Because I'm assuming, like me, maybe you were smarter than me. I never dreamed Barstool would be like here. I was doing it to find something I enjoyed doing and didn't want a 9-to-5.
I don't want to be that guy. Like, you but honestly, if there was ever, I have a Facebook conversation with Tommy. Like I said, we grew up really close, had mutuals, and this is the era of Facebook. So, you know, we're talking deep. I have a Facebook conversation with him. Where he's talking about how he has class tomorrow. I'm like, bro, you gotta fucking, like, you gotta get over all that school shit. Like, we got, like, this shit could be big. This phase shit could be big. Definitely didn't think that, you know, when I
you
moved
knew
here,
it was gonna be something, but you didn't know it was gonna be as
no,
big as it fucking
not,
is.
Definitely not this. I guess there's two answers to the question. I mean, when I first moved in with Tommy, he had granite countertops. I had my own fucking bathroom in my room. I was like, this is it, bro. This is like,
I'm living.
This is the peak of my life. Like, it doesn't get much better than this. I was on a plane every other week, and I'm like, this is sick.
Yeah.
But I think when we first started raising money and like really structuring the company, and we saw interest from like, you know, execs from like Monster and fucking and GoPro and all these companies, like people really trying to get in with us and trying to help us, realistically, especially in the beginning, try to control us and fucking eat off us. I mean, this shit's been a fucking movie, man. And truly, I started this thing with three other guys that I met on Xbox. We were all kids. None of us had any sort of legal, financial know-how, zero experience. And what comes with that, unfortunately, is motherfuckers are going to come in, especially when you're sitting on something as special as FaZe. Motherfuckers are going to just come in and exploit you and take advantage of you. And we've been through so, like that Lee Trank character we were talking about, the CEO of FaZe. Great fucking guy. We finally landed on somebody who we can trust, who really has our best interest, who does his job exactly the way he needs to do his job and leans on us in the ways that he needs to lean on us. And we have a great working relationship with him. We're really, really building shit with him now. But we've been through fucking, you know, a handful of people who are just turned out to be scumbags. I've had my fucking shares almost stolen from me.
How much investment have you guys taken?
It's fucked up, but I really don't know off the top of my head. It's definitely a large number, though.
Got it. Got it.
Definitely a large number.
And when was the first time you did that?
We kind of sort of did it, I want to say, like 2014, 15. We had a guy who was, you know, who had his whole own startup. He was raising money for his own thing, and we had zero structure. We weren't really a company yet.
Right.
At least an operational company.
Yep. Interesting. Very interesting. There's so many parallels.
He came in with some money and some support and, like, you know, whispered us sweet nothings about how he was going to take us to the fucking promised land. Dude turned out to be a fucking scumbag, but it's whatever.
All right. So that I think, gives a fascinating look into FaZe, which I didn't know ton about.
That's the most special thing about FaZe. It's like, it's impossible for this to ever be recreated. Like, we truly, it was a group of kids who met on Xbox who just did this shit out of straight love. Like, before this was before anybody could imagine that this could be a career, never mind building a company the size of FaZe. And we fucking did it. You know what I mean? We just we learned as we went, and we fucking really did it.
It's kind of always, again, not to keep saying, but similar to what I've said, it's like right time, right place, right guys. Yeah. You kind of need all those things working together.
You need the trifecta.
It really feels that way too, like some like stars lined up, like lottery type shit. It's crazy. We're incredibly lucky. I think about it every day. It's incredible.
All right, so let's move on into the more traditional, that was more the business side, which I find fascinating and always want to know. Banks, if you want to do the headlines with us, great. If you want to go home and go back to sleep.
No, I'm down. I'm kicking it. You guys are great.
Let's do it.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, so we started. The Kim was on it. She did good. We'll move past. I don't know if you guys watched it. I still think it's iconic.
I didn't watch that. I don't know about you. I didn't watch
it. You think it was what, Dave? Iconic?
The only thing I've watched in the last few months
is Squid Game. On Saturday Night Live is still, that's what we started when we were talking about SI. I still think that's one of the biggest honors you can get as like a celebrity is to be asked to host or perform on SNL. I may be old and antiquated on that, but to me that is still a giant, giant honor.
Yeah, I think it's similar to the Sports
Illustrated thing.
She
really threw out some crazy jokes, though. Like, the OJ joke was...
And she's not getting any bad backlash either. Nobody's...
I know, but it was like, she goes, do you want to take a stab in the dark of who the first black person I met was?
Yeah. Well, like, see, that's the thing, though. Like, the platform and the company you're in, like, it's so weird. It's so weird. Like, SNL, you can get away with a lot more.
Yeah. No, 100%. 100%.
And the same people, by the way, who watch and love and laugh at SNL will generally be like the first people then to crucify jokes they don't like on other mediums, even though if you said it on SNL, they'd laugh. I've always gone through this. Like, I didn't know it, but I tried to, way back in the day, bring back the word cunt. I had a whole like thing on it. I'm like, I'm bringing it back.
What's wrong with that?
People did not like me saying it. Yet there was like a Larry David episode, Curb, kind of same thing. They laughed at him. For me, they're like, Dave's like gone too far this time. But yeah, it's where you perceive like what you see.
Isn't that word still like used all the fucking
all
time
the
in
Australian
the UK?
Homies.
Yeah, in the UK too. It's just like they overuse.
They call their mom
like
cunts.
Yeah. They literally call it. They say it to their mother.
But
it's like
that is not like that line. I always say it's like, what's the difference between calling someone a dick or a cunt? It's like the same thing, but it is not perceived in the United States. If you like call someone a cunt online,
jaw dropping.
Yeah, that's like whoa, Richard's.
Well, that was always stuff. Growing up in the Banks household. That was always the fucking new. Yeah. You drop that shit on your mom. Like
if I said that to my mom, bro. If I said that to my mom ever when I was
jail.
I would have been fucking hauled out into the front yard, thrown across the lawn, and just been fucking thrown around for about 30 minutes.
That one's always held a little bit more weight. But I don't think it's that crazy of a word.
I feel like it's by definition,
it's not that crazy.
Correct. Right, exactly. Tommy Fury or Tommy Fumbles, Tommy Fury, Jake Paul are gonna fight. The fight features a 500K win bonus. I'm so out on this week. I was in on the last one, but this sounds like a big step backwards for Jake Paul in terms of who he's fighting. Like Tommy
His
Fury
opponent.
Cannot fight.
What do you think about that?
I don't know, man. I honestly don't know anything about Tommy Fury. I know the Fury name.
Well,
I
mean,
can't
his
fight.
Brother was the greatest.
His brother's the great, great fighter, but him himself.
Did you watch the last one, Banks? Did you watch Jake's last fight?
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
So were you interested in that?
Yeah, that was a much better fight than I anticipated it was going to be.
So, like, I was super interested.
And Jake performed. I was interested, yeah.
This I'm not, because Tommy fought on that undercard to look like garbage. But we'll see. I don't know. Are you, like, Brianna would... I feel like this is almost one of those fights, too. Like, that... When they did the YouTube TikTok thing, like every star was like, or not every star, but so many like influencers. Are you interested? You were interested in TikTok, YouTube.
Yeah, I was interested in that one, but this one, no. And because you put in my head that it's a bad fight. So I'm like, it's a bad fight because I don't know anything about boxing.
It is a bad fight to me.
And but Tommy Fury, is Tommy Fury a professional boxer? How many professional fights has he had?
One or two?
Not like...
Yeah.
Okay.
What?
Yeah.
Seven?
He has seven fights under his
belt. He fought a guy who had like never fought last time.
No, he fought a guy who was like zero for like 78. Like
it's just so different than Tyron Woodley, though. Like, that just doesn't make any sense. It should have been Tommy first and then Tyron Woodley.
Up.
Well, let's just call it what it is. Jake's a fucking genius for this move, to be honest. In my opinion, the Fury name. Because honestly, Dave, before you said that, I didn't really know anything about this dude. I just thought, okay, Jake's stepping into like the real deal.
Because you hear
he's the brother of like arguably one of the great.
I think Jake's obviously Jake has a huge interest in protecting his image as like a really fucking actual legit fighter.
See, that's why that surprised me. Working. To me, this is a reverse step for that.
I wonder if they'll surround the fights with like other TikTokers and YouTubers though, so that it's like
compared to the average viewer and demographic that's interested in this, I would assume.
You think I'm more knowledgeable in the boxing?
You have a way deeper understanding of
where this would you put Jake and Logan in terms of like maybe like best influence? If there was a Hall of Fame influencer book, where do you have those two?
I mean, I think you could argue Logan is number one.
Yeah,
to be honest, like he's definitely up there. He's definitely on the Mount Rushmore.
Who else is your Rushmore?
What I appreciate so much.
That's true. Who's your Rushmore of social media?
I think Mr. Beast has to be on there.
Yep.
Influencer is kind of a weird word. Like, is it like super deep internet, like YouTube influencer you're talking about, or
I don't know, because see, Mr. Beast, I wouldn't recognize Mr. Beast if he's walking past me in the street. I don't know how many people would, but his influence
I think you'd be surprised.
Yeah, man.
You can't get 50 million views a video when your face is in every fucking thumbnail and not get recognized by
the street.
It's crazy. Yeah, by most people.
Like, and his demographic was until a year and a half ago.
I would say he's more recognizable than you, to be honest.
I believe it.
Like,
you're fired, crazy. But I believe it.
I don't know.
He's
man.
Fired up this morning. No,
I come from. I don't know. I feel like I exist in maybe a slightly different area than you guys. I don't know. I would say even like PewDiePie. PewDiePie's up there.
Yeah, he's a pioneer.
Is Mr. Beast global though?
Yes.
Like
yes.
Okay. So he's recognizable all over the world.
50 million people.
But I think if you walked around like global. This Barstool office, being like Mr. Beast, people look at you like, huh?
That's what I mean. Like, are his fans in other countries, or is he the biggest here?
Who, PewDiePie?
No, Mr. Beast.
She's saying, is he big in the States? I mean, I believe so.
I can't
imagine
again,
he's not.
You look at these numbers and you just... It's,
yeah,
no, dude, his fucking...
Just every just country?
He just did a Spanish channel that's like slap... This dude has like fucking six YouTube channels that all pull more than 10 million views a video. It's fucking insane.
Yeah, I was going to say, so he's doing this thing where now he's like dubbing his videos, kind of like the Squid Game topic last week, but he's dubbing his videos in different languages and putting them out to like... different country like India, who's never seen a Mr. Beast video because he's so like US oriented, crazy. But he's getting millions and millions of views off videos
so
he came out
with that shit,
dude. Like, he's next level. Like he's next level. Like when it comes to understanding like algorithmic shit and fucking like just like really getting it, that he's the guy, man. He's the guy. Jake, yeah. I think I like Jake a lot too. I just think Jake has played such like a fucking like villain role, and like his route to the success he's had has been a little bit like wonky, whereas Logan, I don't know. I just appreciate the fact that Logan, you know, got over some really serious like career ending shit and kind of like, you know,
rebranded a little bit.
Yeah, like
was able
like,
to pivot out of
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
show his
out.
Depth, show authenticity.
Yeah, he's like
podcast.
He's constantly I mean, changed like, up yeah. and like done different shit and like that. He just gets it. And Logan's got like that personality. He's got that look, and like he's just. That dude knows how to stay at the top.
Logan and I had an exchange. It was, where were we? Was it his? No, we were in Cleveland. Oh, for Jake's fight. And it was when we were at that club. And he came up to me, and I was in the news for something not great at the time. He's like, I was reading this shit on you. It's like, that's crazy, man. You didn't care. It's like, bro, you were in a suicide forest. Like, what are we talking about? He's like, yeah, all right, touche. We're like, well played. Yeah. We both tip the hat and move along. But
I feel like as long as you don't fucking R-word somebody or like murder somebody, I feel like there's a cycle to the scandals. And
the internet moves, I've always said this, at the speed of light. Like, what if you're caught in the middle of it? It seems like the end, the world is all around you. But from the outside, and not only that, like a lot of social media, to a degree, like Twitter is a social, like it's a social echo chamber. But you walk into the real world, and people don't even know half the fuck that's being said. They're just like, "Hey, what's up?" It's nice. So you get caught in your own shit for sure.
And it's all case by case. Like, you can wrap your head around the fact that Logan was so fucking just on some gnarly, crazy, like, YouTube grind shit where he missed the mark, and he's like, yo, he was just in that fucking this is gonna bang on YouTube mode.
Yep.
Going back to, like, even, like, the David Dobrik shit, like, this dude didn't specifically, like, victimize anybody or, like, do anything. He fucking got most of the heat on that whole scandal that just happened with him. Mm. But I can understand, like, this is a fucking kid at the end of the day who's kind of learning as he goes, probably doesn't have a ton of people in his way. He's kind of a one-man show.
Probably got a lot of yes
and
as
a,
well.
Yeah, and like, he's a fucking, yeah, do it, he's do a it. Fucking, he's a YouTube guy, you know what I mean? He's brings his camera everywhere he goes, and that's his fucking mission. Like, I want to get views on YouTube. And when that's your only mission and it becomes such a priority, you miss the mark on
what,
just like shit. I don't know. That's crazy.
What do you like living in LA, Banks? It seems like, I mean, from what I've seen of it, it's so much like people clout chasing and trying to grab as a like guy who grew up in Lowell. I wouldn't see that being your bag, but maybe it is.
I've always been pretty good at like, I've always had a good gauge on like people's intentions. And like, I've always felt like I could have a conversation with somebody for 15 minutes and really understand like, okay, what's this dude's angle?
Right.
I'm honestly one of the few people, like everyone trashes LA and like hates LA, like has some kind of issue with LA. And I've kind of always been the guy to defend it. What I appreciate most about LA is this place is just so different in the sense of like everyone has really young energy. I appreciate the fact that like, again, the Lowell thing, my buddies that I went to high school with, these motherfuckers are like starting families, 9-to-5s, all went to school. Like, you know what I mean? Like very like, cookie cutter, like, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Oh, yeah.
It's definitely not for me, but there's nothing wrong with that. Out here, it's like, you can meet a girl that works at fucking Starbucks, but like, she has like a swimwear line that she's like working on, and like, she wants to do fucking TikTok or whatever. Whatever it may be, as silly or big of a dream as it may be, like, I just appreciate that about this city. I also appreciate the fact that like, I can wake up and fucking drive down the street and do this with you guys. You know what I mean? Yeah. I wouldn't be able to do this if I was living in Boston.
No, true.
At this moment in my life, and obviously FaZe's headquarters is based out of here. I've been here for like 5 years. I've built a ton of really great relationships. I now have like a, you know, a foundation and a good support system of people I can really trust, like family type characters in my life. And I don't know. I feel comfortable.
But you're a little separated too from, like, you live a little out, like you're saying, you live in wherever, like
Burbank.
I wasn't gonna say. I didn't know if you guys had that problem, but you're a little separated and shit. Like,
but I also lived at this the hype house.
Yeah,
shit.
That's true. When you were there, it was like
I founded that street. That's like the heart of
content creators, social media kids, like mooching on couches and shit.
I lived there for 3 years, and that's exactly how we operated.
Because I was in it for like 2 years, right? Yeah. We were living in the fucking center of like West Hollywood, kids at our house every day. We had like 10 content creators that would be sleeping on our couches that we like barely even fucking knew, like all of that. But for me, it was like, I had to get a little out. I had to be living with a little bit more of that inner circle, those people that I knew I could like wake up every day and fucking trust. No, I'm going to the trenches with them. And it's like,
that didn't work out that great.
hey, I'm talking about where I'm living now, fucker. All right, I'm talking about where I'm living now. Okay, Dave.
That's so all right, funny. Fair. I was just saying. Yeah, I got your back.
I counted that in the last 2 years. All that's right. What I'm saying.
Okay, but Dave, to wrap up the question, am I going to raise a family here? Do I feel like this is a great environment to like raise kids and like my whole family's back at home and stuff? No, I don't really have that figured out. I like to live in the present and just take it day by day. This FaZe shit is the most important thing that's ever happened in my life. It's here. I got to be here.
Are you single or dating anybody right now?
I'm dating like fucking 4 girls right now, to be honest with you.
Do they all know that you're dating 4 girls?
Yeah, I was about to say
No, I'm brutally honest. Like, I'm blatantly honest.
I was going to say, that's a drop, like, if they had no idea.
I'm not dating 4 girls right now. I just got out of a serious relationship. I'm a relationship guy, I've learned about myself.
Right.
I really am.
I like to have the girl.
It's just consistent, bro, because I don't know if I'm going to get crucified for saying this, but I fucking, like, dude, that's really all I give a fuck about. I don't know. I feel like that's all really guys give a fuck about in general. But it's like that shit. I just spend way too much time like talking to girls and like going out and like setting myself, putting myself in positions to just like be around like feminine energy and girls and shit. When you have a girl, you don't have to think about that. You know what I mean? It's like you got that box right. Checked
once
off,
you have a girl,
and you can fucking like, work and like I feel what you, I and improve you. As a person and all that really important shit.
Yeah, there's no. definitely advantages to that. I mean, yeah, we'll leave it at that.
he goes, yeah, we're going to leave it at advantages. Dave's been so careful about what he says in this category ever since chickens come in his life.
Videos to react to. I skipped ahead because we're long and it's interesting. I don't think any of the other stuff's too critical, but let's get to the videos to react to. Fans want Josh. I still get that, Josh. The girls introduce me to Josh. I met Josh. DM Josh. It's like.
I love that.
Makes me feel good. Thanks.
What does that say? So,
where is this from? Oh, at your event.
Brianna sent this.
I love that.
Yeah, I was saying to Brianna, I was like, bro, you got me feeling on my Jack Harlow type shit right now. You ever see that video where like the girl in the crowd has like that sign around? It's like, yo, I have a fat ass or something like that.
That's awesome.
Like, I got that from Brianna. I was like, sick. I'm feeling myself.
Jack Harlow shit.
Mr. Beast Squid Game. I finally finished Squid Game, so now it can't be spoiled.
Oh, see, I just still haven't started it.
If this TikTok gets 10 M likes, I'll recreate Squid Games in real life.
Pretty sure it's at 10 million.
How many likes is enough? It had like 8 yesterday.
Yeah, I saw it in 2 hours with like 2 million likes.
Imagine
recreating. It's probably at 10
by the way,
at this point.
Oh, it's at
13
million.
So is he
going to
actually, are people going to be killing each other?
Squid Games.
Oh, you did? I didn't finish it.
It's fucking sad.
Did you keep watching it with subtitles and dubbed?
No, we fixed it. We went to Korean. It makes it way better.
Right?
Yeah. I won that argument.
Okay, good.
All the comments are like, wow. Korean's right.
Viral pizza review guy chasing people with scissors in his toes. This got sent to me a billion times. I didn't want to make fun of the guy. I feel bad making fun of the guy. I have a heart.
Oh, is this the suitcase guy?
This is the guy. I have a video where he comes in and it went viral because he's like, why don't you give some to a crackhead?
And don't forget to give it to a crack daddy. That's all we got over here, crack daddy.
And then he's a well-known Miami guy.
Oh, he's the guy with, yep.
What
help,
the fuck?
Me. I'm scared of you. Do
out.
Not fucking chase me. Ow! Is you gonna drink your soda with the damn cup? Ow, shit! He is chasing me, y'all. Look at him. He is fucking chasing me. Why are you chasing me? Why are you chasing me?
I didn't know
me?
He had scissors in his toes.
Go drink your soda.
Oh, he has scissors in his feet.
He's been arrested for attacking people with scissors. That's his move. He painted
his
toes.
How do you arrest
this guy? He stabbed a tourist with his toes. I felt a little bad. Like, I didn't even know who he was when I did it, but everyone sent that. And someone asked me, like, can we make a TikTok of it? It's like, I really don't, like, want to make fun of him.
It
seems like a guy that just needs help.
Yeah. I feel like it's not.
It's kind of fucked up the way the internet moves sometimes. Like, everybody sits on this moral high ground. But it's like this.
At the same time, there's a guy with no arms chasing you with scissors in his
and everyone's laughing.
I'm sure people go find him to try to take videos of him, though, and just be.
But that's the thing, yeah. Like,
probably it's fucked
Miami
up.
Miami famous. Josh's daddy.
Wow, well, guys, we got a lot of videos just making me feel all cute right now. Got me blushing over here.
But it's like you're gonna be naked tonight, and I was like, whatever you say, daddy. Whatever daddy says.
Good-looking girl. Good for you, Josh.
Good for you, Josh.
Thanks, we got guys. Two games. We'll end it on games.
Good for you, Josh.
Three. You.
Oh, wait. I want to talk. Okay, so the same people that I was talking to with the Josh Fuck Me video, there was other girls that came out. One girl went on a date with Vinny Hacker while she was in New York, and she claims that he brought his dad on the date. He brought his dad on
recently?
The date. This weekend when he came to do the Squid Game things.
Vinny brought his own father on the
this
date?
This is what the girl told me. Do you think that's true?
See, like, the picture that the picture that paints is Vinny shows up dolo with his dad, them three sitting at a table. That's obviously not what happened. This dude, Vinny, probably fucking hit this girl and was like, yeah, we're all going to dinner somewhere. If you want to pull up. Like, Addison's dad will pop out at Delilah.
Shit, all the time. Yeah,
it's not
yeah.
If she's with a guy,
also,
she's
yeah, she made it seem like them three were sitting down for dinner.
Yeah. Like
also, I know that Vinny was there with his, with his manager. So it could have been a situation where Vinny was with like his manager or whatever, who's a little older than him, even though
no, his dad was there too.
I will say, his dad was there. Okay. Vinny. Vinny has like his best friend who's straight has like a Vinny heart tattoo, which is fucking a weird thing to do if you're straight. Just either here nor there. But I was like, that, I mean, again, who cares if you're gay or straight, but why would you want everyone thinking you're gay? I don't know. It's a weird
tattoo.
Vinny
was supposed to get his name and then he didn't.
Weird.
It's fucked up.
Wow, that's messed up. Hey, man, let's both get our each other's names and hearts, and then you.
I just got one of my good homies' names tattooed on me. I got "Happy Birthday, Dylan."
Is it in a heart?
But that's funny.
No, it's not.
No, it's not in a heart.
We were supposed to go to this like escape room thing, and the reservations got canceled. This dude is a character. He's the funniest kid ever.
You also have three gazillion tattoos. He did not. Like, it was like his only tattoo.
Yeah, he had one tattoo, and it was a heart with Vinny.
That's fucked up.
His next tattoo is going to be a portrait of Vinny's face.
On his back.
Yeah, just some Steve-O shit. Old back.
All right, let's do the games, Bree.
Okay, so the first game is, would you let them in phase or not?
Okay.
Let's see.
It's kind of a fucked up game.
I'm not going to be able to pronounce any of these names.
I'll help you. Tfue.
Okay.
Oh, man. Starting out crazy.
Yeah.
Because he was kicked out, right?
No. Or left? I don't know. It was one of those weird things. At the peak of his shit, he had a lot of weird fucking people in his ear about, like, I don't know. Tfue and I have a really, really close personal relationship. I kind of took him under my wing, right. Sort of half moved him to L.A., really pushed him. I went to Best Buy with him to go buy a camera because I'm like, the natural progression, like, you're fucking
he was blowing
white,
up,
white hot on this Fortnite shit. Yeah. You really gotta, like, Fortnite's not gonna be forever, obviously. You gotta transition into this, like, vlogs, like, more personal shit. You gotta be one of those guys. And I don't know, it just didn't work out. I feel like it'd be kind of cool to, like, you know, come full circle and have Tfue be a part of the gang.
So, I mean, are you saying it didn't work out because it's essentially when you say, like, people whisper in his ears, like, hey, you don't need these guys, you can be bigger without them? Is that the...
Yeah, something along those lines, yeah. Yeah. I think that if he got to do it over, I think it would definitely have gone down much different than it did. I don't think any of that shit did him any favors. I don't think it did us any favors. It was kind of a lose-lose, which is unfortunate. But I don't know. I think it'd be cool. I think there could be something there. Yeah, I won't front. Tfue's the fucking homie. He's my brother. As whack as all that shit was.
Right.
So I guess we'll give him a yes.
Doors open for Tfue.
Doors open. Bryce Hall.
Bryce. We would get fucking hammered for this. But listen, I have to say, I fucking love Bryce. Mm. And I never thought that I would. We've talked about this publicly. We talked about it on my podcast. Do you know how I met Bryce?
No.
So Bryce has been in LA for a long time. All you guys have, right? You've been in here for a while, or not as long as that?
Not even close to as long
as
this.
Yeah, Bryce has been in LA forever. Like, chasing when
Bryce
this thing.
Was, you know, when Bryce was like, he had his up, and then he kind of was like, he kind of disappeared for a little bit after, like, musically and all that shit.
Yeah.
I came in right when he was like at probably like his low
stage. Yeah. But he's been here forever, and he definitely had a reputation, like, just in like the more social scene in Party LA scene. Of like fight being a punk and fighting people and shit. And I was somewhere else. I wasn't home. Somebody hit me up. Someone's like, yo, so-and-so just fought Bryce. Some kid who I live with just fought Bryce outside of the house. Like, they were trying to break in the crib. And I was like, what? And I was like, okay, I've heard this guy's name once or twice. I DM'd him on the craziest shit.
Yeah, probably.
Like, listen, you punk motherfucker. when I see you, this and that.
Yeah.
And like, he was like, bro, honestly, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Long story short, it wasn't even Bryce. It was somebody else, whatever. So we totally squashed that. But then he really fucking took off, and I started seeing him more and talking to him more. And I think that the way someone reacts to success, like ultra success, speaks a lot about, like, who they are as a person. And this dude's a fucking sweetheart, at least with me.
Right.
Honestly, and I get that feedback from a lot of people. I fucking love Bryce. Bryce and Taylor Holder. I'm like, you guys are fucking the sweetest guys.
So would you let him in or no?
I don't even know if he'd want it.
That's a no. You won't
honestly,
let him in.
No, that's a no. Yeah, Dave, you're thinking the same thing.
Honestly, no. Fuck that. I'd figure it out. I'd figure out a way to make it work. But I love Bryce.
So he
I
puts
honestly
in
do.
Phase Bryce. You're down with that?
Yeah, if you really wanted to rep it like that, like, we'd figure it out.
All
right. Vinny Hacker.
I'm just hard no, because I just don't know him. I don't
see, to me, from the outside, he'd be a hard yes. Like, he
yeah,
seems
and then
to really
versus
like,
Bryce especially too, because Vinny's got the Twitch stuff going on.
And like, oh, does he? Is he? I mean, he was bro like, at one point. Vibe.
I'm pretty sure he was pulling 25 to 40k.
Oh shit! No shit
on Twitch,
and he's playing games and shit.
Yep.
Oh, so maybe it is a yes.
Valorant, see, I like playing.
It's
like,
hard. It's hard. His face.
Yeah, they just it's just girls looking at him.
Ah, but he was consistently pulling those views. So I mean,
and I don't think the Twitch audience is that heavy.
Girls,
25 to 40k is a fucking fat number on Twitch,
right? Like, I'm pretty sure I was joining his streams.
I can't believe that even half of those are girls, honestly.
Right, but even if they are, and they're continuously coming to the stream, he's bringing a new demo to Twitch.
Yeah, it's,
right.
It's I don't know. Maybe that might be a very interesting like yes. I would have to go deeper, though. I don't know him enough to off just, like, his name and face be like, yes. I didn't know the Twitch shit either.
Cloak.
Again, like, Cloak is Cloak. I don't know, man.
I don't know where the fuck came up with this list?
This is a really well-thought-out list.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, who came up with this game? Who did the list?
Seven.
Our gaming guy helped us with it. So he's kind of basic.
He's definitely your game.
Yeah, because he also
because he's in it. He's in it. He's picking some good names.
Yeah, this is a good one. Again, it's kind of the same story as Tfue. I mean, if that was a serious thing, and I don't know, I again have a really close relationship with him. I mean, the feelings of this would definitely be split, probably right down the middle on the team, but we'd probably figure out a way to make it work.
Phase letting people in.
Everyone's
hopefully,
in.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Krennikoff.
That's a hard yes. Now, contingent on the fact that the Tfue shit didn't work out, that's a hard yes.
Right.
Karina's dope. I love Karina.
What does Tfue have to do with Karina?
They were.
They dated for a really long time.
Got it.
Bella Porch.
Don't know her.
TikTok. Girl, she blew up like
she'd be perfect too, from what I've seen of her. Kind of, I like when I think of Faze, I think of kind of like alternative cool, which is what I feel. With the exception of Mooch,
she's massive. Yeah,
dude, I love you, Dave. You're great. I don't know. Just off again, face and name. I have to say no because I just don't know her. I'm sure she's lovely and I'm sure she's crushing it, and that's great. I've heard the name.
She has like the most watched TikTok of all time. Correct?
Yeah, something like that.
I'm not a TikTok guy, admittedly. I don't do the TikTok.
Oh, no, yeah.
And I know you've seen me shake my ass at the club. You know,
right,
I'd
crush a couple times.
I'd crush that
shit. I'm pretty sure I saw you guys at 11.
Yeah.
I busted a couple of those dance moves. Yeah. Maybe you'll get some followers.
Yeah.
Face up.
Lil Nas.
Hard no. I just saw him do some shit with a competitor. He's going down that road, so.
Oh.
So it's
who is your competitor? Thieves?
I mean, every other esports organization. Yeah. And it's all love. Like, he just did a shoot with 100 Thieves.
Yep.
He was wearing their jersey and stuff, which is cool. Like, that's great. I love what they're doing. I think that they're doing what they should be doing. But he's already kind of
made his
locked up. Yeah.
One more, and then I have a surprise one too.
I have James to say that's a hard no. I've only ever had good experiences with him, but he's not on brand, and we have, like, what the fuck are we gonna do with this guy?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
All right, what about this girl?
Oh man,
I saw
I would give up my
spot.
You know what's fascinating?
I'd probably break her off some shares too. I'd put a fucking kid in her.
I saw that. Well, you basically said that on Instagram. I went down her path just because it's fascinating to me, like how fast she blew up and like a year ago, how many likes she was getting on Instagram. And it's just the second Squid Games hit, it was game over.
She had 400.
Netflix is the king of that, though. Netflix makes those people blow up
so fast.
Like, you see Noah Centineo when he did it, right? Yeah, like, off of To All the Boys I Love Before, blew up. This guy was like, he had a show before he did Foster's or whatever it was called. and like he wasn't really that big.
Same with the Outer Banks kids. That,
yeah, out but of I mean, we're also talking like legs. You're saying like, Squid Games is the number one Netflix show of all time. So I mean,
oh,
that,
gotta be.
That plays a factor. Did she respond to you, Banks?
No, she didn't. She's been in a long term relationship. It's all jokes. It's all jokes
yeah. Unless she responds.
She's typically
jokes. Yeah, it's all jokes unless she responds.
Unless she
then it's game on.
That's also just like old school wrestling, like a test of strength in the middle of the ring, like just throwing something out there and seeing like what your sphere of influence is. Like we'll get back to her because I don't even know where she lives.
I didn't tag her. Like it didn't pop up in her thing. I will say though, she we just retweeted something on FaZe's Twitter. She like in an interview talked about how she's like addicted to watching FaZe Mongrel stream and that she thinks everybody should watch it because she has so much fun watching it and loves it. So that's tight.
Yeah.
That was a meme format. People were like using that for everything. Like they were doing it for like XQC.
Oh, maybe.
So I think FaZe was just playing along.
Yeah, you know more about
FaZe than I do.
You just broke his heart over here.
Now we're going to get no more guests. Nobody has ever had their legs chopped out from under him.
I just had to say, she's not watching FaZe Mongrel's Fortnite stream.
You never really know, man. You never, these athletes.
That's messed up, Kareem.
You really never know.
What is Price is Right?
So it's.
I mean, it is long. I don't know. I think that's. Well, I don't know what that is though.
It's
is that for him.
Yeah, NFTs. I really have no shot. It's over under if he thinks the price.
All right, let's do that quick. If we put it together, there's no one else in the universe we can use that game for.
I love you. I love her. She's great.
All right. How do you play this game? Price is Right. We're saying what?
So it's like NFTs, and the price is going to be there, and you have to say if it's over or under, and then the real price will come up next.
I love this.
This is right up my alley. Devin, great game.
You guys got a good little team back there.
Yeah.
Okay. Paris Hilton's iconic crypto queen, 500,000.
Well, you got to give me a little bit because I don't know these off rip. You know what I mean? I'm not the fucking all knowing. What is this? Is this a one of one? Is this an addition?
One of one.
Oh man,
I'm going over.
What is this in ETH?
Now we're talking different languages.
Yeah.
Real quick. I don't know, man. I would probably say
I'm going under.
I would say under.
I'm going over because I can't imagine the fuck out of Paris Hilton and she's big in this.
But
it's worth 111.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. So way under.
I just can't imagine she would add any utility.
I didn't know her audience.
A lot of this NFT shit, like it goes deeper than just the art. That's something that we didn't really talk about, like utility and like long term, like Cyber Kongs, for example. If you own a Genesis Cyber Kong, I minted one of these. I got one of these for one ETH in March, and they've attached a token to it. It's banana token, whatever, and this shit has real value. It's like you get like $80,000 to $100,000 in passive income for every Genesis Kong you own. So obviously, if you're holding this thing and you're just getting $100,000 a year, obviously the value of it goes way the fuck up. I just sold mine for like $300,000-$400,000. And wow. I bought it for fucking $3,000 in March.
Wow.
But like, it's not, I didn't sell that based on the artwork. You know, I sold it based on the utility. And
is this Paris's like most famous NFT? Yes. What does that say about her? Assume. I sold the pizza review that was just bottled up for more than that.
Damn. All right, Jack Dorsey's first tweet, 500,000.
I know this is over this.
Yeah, I'm
I think that this is over.
I thought it was
over?
$1 million or something.
2.9 million?
Holy shit.
What?
Have you guys seen this video?
For 500,000?
So am I allowed to ask any questions?
Because
I'm not familiar with the sale of this. Does Nyancat have an IP? Like, is there anybody who actually owns the IP for Nyancat? Like, is there an entity
too
or
deep,
Nyancat
too fast
brand?
We don't know the answers to everything.
Doesn't everything technically have an IP? Like whoever made the Nyancat.
I don't know.
I guess
like everybody uses the Pepe Frog fucking IP. You know what I mean? Like there's some like gray area. I don't know.
What is it? 531,000.
Wow.
This is so fucking
over.
Crazy to me. All this shit.
This is boy my last
one. Tommy Smokes, our guy, way under
$10.
$10 though. I mean,
this guy works.
It's going to be like $11.
Did anybody make any mention of this anywhere? Like, was this like
he does one a day?
This is a
one picture a day for I don't know how. So this is 148
NFTs.
Am I going to be like surprised somebody paid $12?
I'm going to say it's going to be a little over 10. It's going to be 11.
Nothing.
I'm going over and it's going to be 11 bucks.
What is it?
$50?
$50.
I love that.
That's fucking awesome.
Oh, that's fake. His other one's like 25 cents.
Let's fucking go, baby.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Spider Bot money.
All right. All right, Banks. That was fascinating. Look into all the stuff, things that really I had no idea, but it's so parallel to like our universe. So next time, what are you going to do? Are you going to go to the Sox LA if they somehow meet the Dodgers?
If the opportunity presents itself, if there's a group of...
Sadly, that won't happen because the Giants are going to win.
Yeah, Giants actually are up 2-1.
Dave, would you ever invest? Like, would you ever get an NFT off of like Banks' recommendation?
If Banks told me to do it, I would 100% do it.
I think
we'll talk. We'll talk.
I think you should talk to him after the show. Get something, and we track it on the show to see.
But the thing that worries me a little bit, I know how close he and Mike are, and Mike's like, I bought one, panicked. And I kind of have the same vibe. Like,
Mike, I'm done with Mike. I'm done with Mike. Mike's the fucking worst. Like, I can't do it, man. I can't do, like, we obviously have large, like, ETH holdings and Bitcoin. Yeah. I can't do the, did you see ETH today, man?
Today? It went down 5%. Like, it went down 10%.
Come on. Yeah, like, give me a fucking break. I can't do it.
Yeah, so I'm risk tolerant. You won't hear that from me. Yeah. I know everything has a little risk, but...
And again, just like anything else, there's long-term holds, there's short-term. I'm not going to fucking put you onto some shit that I would expect that you'd flip in 2 days because you're not going to... You're probably not going to go that deep right off the bat. Like, that's kind of like phase two of the NFT shit. Like, when you really get in, when you're a part of the
that's
right
when
community.
You've already phased up.
Dude, I'm the type of guy who get random tips on sporting events from people I don't know, and I just bet it. It's like, I don't know, that guy said something, so never mind.
My ex-girlfriend's dad's a pro poker player and he's fucking breaded. He's got a lot of money. I had him buy 2 CryptoPunks 3 months ago, and he just flipped one for a $500,000 profit, and he's still holding one.
Yeah, so I mean, it all boils down to: do you trust them? I trust Banks, so it's like I will do whatever they.
I would just tell you guys to go with the blue chip. You know, you guys probably have the means to do this. It's unfortunate for the people at home. The people at home have to take bigger risks, but it's again just like the stock market in that sense.
Yeah.
But like, I would tell you to go with one of the Apple, Tesla type NFT products, like a CryptoPunk or a Bored Ape. I'd say get one of those just so you're in. Naturally, after that, you're going to learn. You're going to follow some Twitter accounts. You're going to join some fucking Discords. You're going to, you know what I mean? You're going to be in. And those are pretty risk-free. Those are going to go up.
Right.
If you say so. Yeah. All right. There it is. Thanks, Banks. Thanks, fellas. We will see you next week.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Thanks, Ben.